If you would, turn in your Bibles this morning to Deuteronomy chapter 8, and we're going to look at verses 10 through 17. It's a privilege to get to stand up in front of you guys again. It just never gets old. I'm so thankful each month that I just have the privilege of standing up in front of you guys and opening up the Word. You know, as I look out, there's visitors this morning. And I just want you to know that we're blessed to have you here. You could have been anywhere else in the world this morning, but you chose to spend this time with us. And we appreciate it, and we're just blessed to have you here. We're opening up to Deuteronomy chapter 8. We're going to look at verses 10 through 17. And, you know, there was this woman who had a parrot. It sounds like a really bad joke already. But there was a woman who had a parrot who's always complaining about everything. And it was Thanksgiving Eve, and she was preparing the Thanksgiving meal. And the parrot complained about everything, every single thing as she worked. Finally, she'd heard enough. He'd reached the last straw. So she took him out of his cage, and she opened the refrigerator to put him in to punish him. And she told him, says, you're going to stay in this refrigerator until you cool off and get control on your tongue. And she closed the door. Well, needless to say, the parrot was stunned. And shivering, he caught a glimpse of the Thanksgiving turkey. With its skinned legs pointing upward from the pan. And the parrot looks and he said to the turkey, good heavens, man, what did you say? Anyway, Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 10, the Bible tells us, says, when thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee to do thee good at thy latter end. And thou say in thy heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. So as we begin this message today, we need to take a moment to consider the context of the passage. You know, we've picked up in the midst of a message that Moses was actually preaching to Israel just prior to entering the promised land. See, they were in the plain of Moab, across the Jordan River from Jericho, and Canaan was in view. After 40 years of wandering, Canaan was in view. It's so close you could smell it. Now, the book of Deuteronomy is a book of review. It's a book of remembrance. The word literally means second law. And it wasn't an addition to the law or a new law, but simply a review and reminder of the law. See, Moses spends a lot of time rehearsing the law and will of God for their lives prior to his departure. Now, as I was looking at this passage, you know, I thought about it, and we're going to enter into Thanksgiving celebrations this week, a time of remembrance and reflection on the blessings that we've received from our Lord. And you know, I rejoice that we're living in this dispensation of grace. But see, there's a lot of truth that can be gleaned and applied to our lives in this Old Testament passage. See, in these verses, we discover the challenge and the obligation of offering genuine thanksgiving to the Lord. And I want to examine the attitudes revealed here in regard to a heart of thanksgiving. Now, the first attitude that we need to possess recognizes the abundance from our Lord. So, for sake of time, I didn't read these verses where they're text, but we're going to be looking at Deuteronomy. We're going to go up the page and look at verses 2 and come down. But I really didn't read these verses with our text when we started. But they're essential to a heart of thanksgiving. See, here in these verses, Moses reminds the Israelites about the goodness of the Lord and His abundance. And our existence is much different than that of Israel, but we too have received the same blessings from God. Notice that God has blessed our past. Look at verses 2 and 4. Moses says, "And thou shalt remember all the way which thy Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldst keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years." See, the word remember. He says, "And thou shalt remember," in verse 2. The word remember deals with these blessings of the past. See, God led them in the wilderness for 40 years. Now, think about this for a second. If you took and lined up out of Egypt, and you looked at Canaan land, it don't take 40 years in a straight line to get there. There was a reason that it took them so long. And we've received the same blessings. Now, God led them in this wilderness 40 years, and He fed them with manna from heaven. And He even ensured that their clothes didn't wear out or get too small. Now, wouldn't we have to admit that God has blessed our past as well? Has He not been faithful in the years gone by? Has He not always met our need? Look down at verses 7 and 8, and I want to see that God has not only blessed our past, but He's blessing our present. It says here, "For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of oil, olive and honey." Now, notice that verse 7 here says that the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land. At that very moment, God was bringing them out of the wilderness, and they were on the verge of Canaan. They were right there. God was good in their lives at that very moment. Now take just a moment to consider what the Lord has done for us even today. Has He not been good and gracious in our lives? Has He not blessed us at this very moment? Is He not blessing us now? You know, we don't have to look back with regret, having only memories of God's blessing. We enjoy them on a daily basis. Look now at verse 9, and I want you to see that God can bless our future. It says in verse 9, it says, "A land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness, thou shalt not lack anything in it. A land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass." The Israelites here hadn't even entered the promised land yet. And already Moses was speaking of the blessings of God they would enjoy. God hadn't brought them through the wilderness to abandon them in Canaan. God would continue to bless His people as long as they continued to serve Him. Now, you know, I rejoice that the one we serve will never leave us and He'll never forsake us. We have a blessed hope, and we have a sure promise of God's goodness in our lives. You know, I considered saying that God will bless our future. But I thought, as I was writing this, that may have been just a bit presumptuous. And I have no doubt that he will as long as we follow him. But I fear many in America are no longer looking to the Lord or thankful for his goodness. But that brings us to the next attitude that Moses spoke of in our text verses. And it's the awareness of our Lord. See, we need to maintain a proper respect and relationship with the Lord if we're to expect his blessing. Let's consider the awareness of our Lord. See, Moses deals with two aspects in this passage of our awareness. And first we see the duty, and I say duty, the duty of praise. See, he reminds the people of their duty, their obligation to praise the Lord. He also reminds them of that which they need to praise God for. Once again, as we look at this, there's great application for us. So what did Israel, as well as our congregation, have to praise God for? Well, first, we need to praise him for our satisfaction. You know, and I thought about this, and I'm going to go off the reservation just a second, but as I was thinking about this, I remember growing up, we would go out to this old man's house to go deer hunting. He was out in the middle of the big thicket, and him and his mama, his whole family had lived out there forever. I think it was probably one of the original land grants after the emancipation. And they had no electricity. He had one car, and I think it was made in the 50s. You know, they farmed the land. He had a mule that he still pushed, or it pulled him, or however that thing works. But anyway, we would go out there, and I remember they still had a wood-burning stove sitting inside that house. And you'd come in, and they had coffee that was boiling up on top. And, you know, as they cooked, it just the whole forest just lit up with the smell of whatever they were cooking. And that could be either good or bad, depending on what was on top of that stove. But I remember sitting down to bread with him one day. And, of course, we prayed before the meal. And I thought, well, you know, that's great. Now, after we were done, he prayed again, and he says, I thank you, Lord, for your provision, for we aren't satisfied. And I never thought about that before. And as I was looking at this, I thought about we need to praise the Lord for our satisfaction. Look at verse 10. It says, when thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. See, after they had eaten and were full, I'm sure they blessed the meal before they ate, but it says here, after they had eaten and were full, they were to praise the Lord for their fullness. See, God had blessed them and had satisfied their need. You know, we need to praise the Lord for our satisfaction. How many times do we go to the table and eat till we're filled? You know, I tell people at work all the time, I say, you know what, I don't eat because I'm hungry. I eat to keep from getting hungry. But I'm blessed to be able to do that. How many of our urgent needs, I'm not talking about our wants, but how many of our urgent needs has God failed to supply? You know, we'd have to admit that we're blessed beyond measure. And if anyone ought to have the ability to praise him, we ought to. And not only should we lift up praises for our satisfaction, but we need to lift up praises for our source. Look at verse 10 again. Because it says that after we're satisfied, that thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land he hath given thee. See, Moses here reminds Israel that, and all who read these words, the source of all blessings. See, we're to praise him from whom all blessings flow. God is the provider of all the goodness we receive. You got a job to provide for your family? Is there money in the bank? A roof over your head? Food on the table? clothes in the closet. God gave you all that. We should also praise the Lord for our salvation. Look at the last part of verse 14. It says, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Now, as I said at the start, it didn't take, on a straight line, it don't take 40 years to walk from Egypt to Canaan land. Why do you think it took 40 years? It's the same question that we face now. Can you trust me? See, this was all about developing trust in the Lord. It says, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, the land of bondage, from the house of bondage. See, Moses spoke of the Lord thy God, which brought them forth out of the land of Egypt. He reminds them of the bondage that they were under, and the deliverance that the Lord brought unto them. You know, I think it's impossible to praise the Lord if we've forgotten our salvation. You know, I remember a time that I was much like the Hebrews in Egypt. You know, I was bound by the chains of sin. I was forced to serve a cruel taskmaster who sought to keep me bound. But praise the Lord, He came to me in my moment of need. He found me. He saved me. He forgave my sin. He lifted me out of that miry clay. He placed me within His family and guaranteed a home in heaven for all eternity. You know, of that, and not only me, but my family. You know, for that, I'm thankful for it. See, nothing is more precious than my salvation. You know, we should not only be thankful for our salvation, but also we should be thankful for our security. Look at verses 15 and 16. It says, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee to do thee good at thy latter end. See, Moses here reminds them of the wondrous protection and provision that God blessed them with in the wilderness. They came out of Egypt after being in bondage for all those years. And you know, most of those fellers probably didn't possess much skill other than brick making. But God provided for every need. He fought their battles. He fed their families. He favored them and He led them in the way. You know, one night, biblical scholar Matthew Henry was robbed. And when he got home, he was still trembling with fear. Yet, he regained his calm as he prayed. And this is the prayer he offered and wrote in his journal. He says, Father, I thank you first, because I was never robbed before. Second, I thank you, because although they took my purse, they didn't take my life. Third, I thank you, because although they took everything I had, it was not very much. And fourth, I thank you because it was I who was robbed and not I who robbed. Now, I don't know about you, but I look back and I look at job changes. You know, there was a point in time here that people would ask me, go, you change jobs again? Well, you know, each time, I mean, there was a point in time that I was going to Afghanistan. I was gonna bring Bible truths to Afghanistan. I got to Indianapolis, was as far as I got. And I found out that I had high triglycerides and a risk of pancreatitis, and I couldn't go. And I came back and I had a pity party, but while I was there, the very last day I was there, a guy come up and says, "What are you reading?" And I said, "Well, this is basic Bible truth. This is how we sit down with people and lead them to the Lord." And he goes, "You mind if I look at it?" I said, "No." So he opens it up. He goes, "I've been waiting all my life for something like this." Well, basic Bible truth got to the Middle East. I just had to deliver it to Indianapolis, but I had a pity party. A couple years later, I changed jobs again because, an opening came up, but I didn't know that I was going to have a bacterial infection and 3 bouts with pancreatitis. Now, with the Afghanistan thing, it actually turned into Kuwait, and I had chose not to have taxes taken out. The company only made it 6 months over there. If I had gone, Susan and I would have been destroyed financially. I was moved to another job. I moved to this job. They had fantastic insurance. I was running a refurb shop for a German company, rebuilding concrete pumps. And I had 3 bouts with pancreatitis. I'll never know this side of heaven how close I was to dying. But if I'd had to pay the hospital bills for 3 times, I would have been destroyed. Each time, what I'm saying is, the Lord, He has our back. He gives us our security. And most of the time, we don't realize it except in hindsight. I rejoice for that security. And see, I know that my soul is secure in Him and that I'm going to inherit eternal life. Like, you know, you can lay on a hospital bed and they can tell you the worst and you're okay with it. You know, I knew I was in bad shape, and the only thought was, you know, it was for my wife and for my kids. There wasn't a thought for me. I realized on that hospital bed that dying is just as easy as being born, and I didn't have a thing to do with either one. And I have no idea what tomorrow may bring. I don't know how much worse things will get before we're called out of this world. I mean, the weirdness knob gets turned up a little bit more each day. But here's what I do know. I know that my God is in control. And you know, David, he knew it as well. He declared that he had never seen the righteous forsaken, or his seed begging bread. We may never ever have all we want. But I can promise you, as I'm standing here, God will provide everything we need. You know, as I thought about these words that Moses preached to the Israelites so long ago and how they apply to us today, I realized that this whole passage could be summed up in just 4 words. And there's two 4-word phrases that I know. First is, membership has its privileges. You see, as a child of God, He's got my back. That's the other 4-letter word, or 4-word phrase. See, He's had my back in the past. He's got my back now. And I know He's going to have my back in the future. My situation in this life is not dependent on my job, my bank account, or even my abilities. My security is not nested within the government, my community, or any other social entity. My abundance or lack thereof of money in my savings or investments account, my future is not reliant on that. And while there's nothing inherently wrong with any of these things, everything that I have or will have, everything that I am or will be is firmly situated in Christ. My present, my past, my future is in His hands because membership has its privileges. See, the Lord's blessed us. He is blessing us. And He will bless us. And you know, the thing about it is, knowing this, it should humble us. And it should strengthen us. And it should draw us into a closer relationship with Him. we should be the most thankful people on the planet. You know, Moses was telling the nation of Israel this more than 2,000 years ago. But in the same message, I want you to notice that he warned us of the dark side of being blessed beyond measure. Let's look back at our text. Look at verse 11. Moses says, "Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day." And verse 17, And thou say in thy heart, "My power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth." See, Moses here warns the children of Israel about the danger of our pride. See, they hadn't even entered the promised land, and Moses was already warning them of the danger of pride as well. See, if not kept in check, success invites pride into a person's life. And it's hard for a proud heart to be thankful to anyone for anything. Notice what God's Word reveals to us concerning pride. See, the first thing I want you to see is that pride promotes disobedience. Look back at verse 11. It says, "Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day." See, Moses warned that pride would cause the people to forget the commandments of God. It would cause the people to stray from him, and it would hinder their relationship. You know, I'm thankful for my salvation, and I know I can never, ever lose it. And I sin. I sin on a daily basis. I probably didn't make it through the morning before I sinned 100 times this morning. Some I don't even know about. But you know, the funny thing about it is, what I realize is that the fact that I sinned this morning has nothing to do with my salvation. My salvation is just as secure as it was before I committed that. But it has everything to do with my fellowship. Israel would still be God's people, but they would be out of fellowship. And this is where, if we're a child of God, when we sin, we fall out of fellowship. And this is where I am certainly glad I am short. Because it is only the distance between my knee and this floor to restore that fellowship. Some of you taller fellas got a little bit further to go. But Moses, he warned that pride would cause him to forget the commandments of God. It would break that fellowship that the Israelites had. Pride will generate the same response in our lives as well. See, when we get to the place that we feel as if we have accomplished something on our own, we see no need to submit to the authority and the leadership of another. And I fear that many feel as if they're doing fine in their own way and no longer see a need to follow the Lord and His will for their lives. You know, over the years, I've watched people come in. They trust the Lord. They're just on fire, and then somehow, you know, they begin to get, you know, they realize about tithing, they realize about this, and they're under the umbrella of protection, and life gets to be going good, and then all of a sudden life starts getting in the way. And you gradually start seeing them trickle out the back door. Pride will usually promote an attitude of disobedience. But see, it doesn't stop there. Pride produces disobedience, and it also promotes arrogance. Look back at verse 17. It says, "And thou say in thine heart, My power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth." See, Moses warns of the dangers associated with arrogance. He's already reminded him that it was God who cared for him in the wilderness, and that it would be God that would give them a land of plenty. And he knew that they would be tempted to assume that all of their good fortune was the result of their hard work in their labor. You know, as I look on TV today and I listen to the radio and I look around, it saddens me to see the state that our blessed nation is in today. But the truth is, we've fallen victim to our own prosperity. And many may not want to admit it, but if we really think about it, it was God who enabled us as America to prosper as we have. Had the Lord not blessed us, we would be no different than any nation. Where the problem lies, and a lot of people don't want to hear this, but the problem lies in the fact that we have forgotten God. We've assumed the very attitude that Moses warned of here in this passage. We want to take credit for our prosperity. We've got that blue-collar theology that if I just roll up my sleeves and work really, really hard, I can not only be saved, I can be prosperous. You know, I got to do something for God. You know, many assume that their hard work did bring them the abundance. Hard work and planning are essential to prosperity. But it's God who gives the ability to work and the wisdom to plan. See, all that we enjoy, everything that we enjoy, He's given to us. So may we humble ourselves before the Lord and praise Him for His abundant blessings. Is there anything in your life that you're thankful for this morning? Is there anything that you want to praise God for? Maybe you're here today and you've never been saved. Maybe you never realized the goodness of God or your need for His forgiveness. See, you need to know that Jesus paid that sin debt that you owe. Why not let us help you with it? Ask us about those classes before you leave today. Let me close with this thought. You need to be on the lookout for mercies. See, the more we look for them, the more of them we're going to see. Blessings brighten when we count them. Out of the determination of the heart, the eyes see. If you want to be gloomy, there's gloom enough to keep you glum. But if you want to be happy, there's gleam enough to keep you glad. Better to lose count while naming your blessings than to lose your blessings by counting your troubles. God bless you.
I don't know how you feel about this week being Thanksgiving week. Everybody loves a holiday, I guess. I'm going to tell you something. I love this one more than all the rest. This is it. You know, when you pray, sometimes when trouble's at the door and need is great, we fall to our knees and we start asking God for help. But let me suggest that you start praising God for the help He's already given you before you start asking God for help. You know, prayer is communication with God. Supplication is what's asking for stuff. Prayer and supplication are the way that it's usually pronounced in the Scripture. We have so much to be thankful for. This good land that we get to live in. You could have been born in Pakistan, Vietnam, Cambodia, China. You could have been born anywhere else, but you were born here. Most of you, anyway. And for the rest, you ought to be more grateful because God put you here anyway. We get to live like kings in this country. Somebody said America is the only place in the world where poor people are fat. It's true. The poorest of people in this country eat every day, for the most part, and could be all the time, because it's because of God's goodness, folks. His goodness. Did you know that gratitude is the most powerful tool that we have? I want you to think about this for a minute. I've taught most of you the truth about how to go about reaching people for Christ. You're not going to do very well reaching people for Christ by, if you died today, what's going to happen to you? And they're looking for a door, you know. And there's really nothing wrong with that. It's just not as effective as what the Bible says. The Bible teaches us that we ought to praise God for every good thing in our life, every day, all the time. God should be in, well, if you'd all been in Bible class this morning, you would have learned that the wicked man, because of his pride, won't seek God. And it says, and God is not in all of his thoughts, but he's supposed to be in all of our thoughts. Every good thing, the fact that you're sitting here in this place, worshiping in a free country, to a God who can do anything, it's gratitude. And we win souls when we're praising God, when they see it in our life, when they hear it from our mouth, when it's the real thing and it's not fake and it's not pretended, and we are praising God all the time. And then the Bible says, be ready to give an answer to him that asked you a reason of the hope that lieth within you. You know, I teach basic Bible truths all the time. I've been teaching basic Bible truths for 45 years. This is my 45th year that I've been teaching those classes. I've taught a bunch of those classes. And only in the first few years did I even ask people to take them. All the rest of the time, folks have asked me to take them. Because what God tells us about praising God and giving him credit for every good thing in your life causes people to want to know what you got. And they will ask. They'll say, where do you go to church? Or, wow, that's a beautiful home. Or, wow, that's this or that's that. And pretty soon, the name of Jesus comes up. And before you know it, they're asking. How more powerful a tool could we have than that? And all it is simple gratitude, praise, thanking the Lord. Not my strength and what a good job I did and how I'm this and how I'm that. We talked about it this morning. Pride was our subject for the day. It's amazing how God put that together, isn't it, Sherry? It's not about I. It's about him. It's all about Jesus, and it's never going to be about anybody but Jesus. And we need to get on that wagon and stay there. Amen? I don't know how you're going to celebrate your Thanksgiving this week, but that's what it needs to be, Thanksgiving. An attitude of gratitude all the time, and it will get the job done when nothing else will. I don't know where you are this morning. Maybe it's time to come into this church and become a part of the body. Maybe it's time to repent of some sin that's been keeping you back from what you need to do and where you need to be. Maybe you don't know Jesus yet. We can help you with that. We really can.